I'm Brian Burkhardt with the WEKU Daily News Podcast for January 15, 2026. The deadline for most Kentucky candidates to register to run for county offices has passed. According to registration data, most Western Kentucky voters won't have many choices to make when it comes to county-level offices. Hannah Saad has more on the story.
In every county in the Purchase area and much of the Pennyroyal region, over half of the races for elected county offices will most likely be decided prior to the November election. That's largely driven by the number of county-level races where only one person, or sometimes none at all, have signed up to appear on the ballot. Across 19 Western Kentucky counties, nearly two-thirds of these local races have one or fewer candidates. Another 20% of races in these counties have contested Republican primaries, but no one else signed up to face the winner of those elections. Independent candidates have until April to file to run, and write-in campaigns can be launched until late August. However, few independents hold county offices in Western Kentucky, and write-in campaigns are not often successful. I'm Hannah Saad in Paducah.
Kentucky's General Assembly is back in session, and the budget is top priority. Officials in higher education are planning on seeing budget cuts. This means colleges and universities have to carefully plan how they approach the legislature. Eastern Kentucky University President David McFadden says healthcare is one of the fastest-growing parts of Kentucky's economy. To help improve healthcare through the Commonwealth, McFadden says the university is leaning heavily on the new Doctorate of Osteopathic Medicine program.
We are asking for support there that the DO school would be a part of the Health Innovation Center, which is about a little over $300 million facility. But we're also asking for the escrow funds, which is the requirement for startup that's part of the COCA requirements, which is the accrediting body for DO schools.
He says the school is also focusing on asset preservation, aviation funds, and leaning on the university's strong programs. McFadden says that it will be a competitive time for colleges and universities asking for funds from state lawmakers. You can hear the full interview with David McFadden online at weku.org. Fayette County Public Schools presented the first draft of next year's budget during a meeting this week. Shepard Snyder has more.
It's the first version of the draft presented to the public before the school board votes on its final budget in September. The school district's general fund, which makes up most of its budget, is estimated at around $697 million, around $7 million more than the current budget. District officials say they're accounting for more revenue from property and motor vehicle taxes. They're also expecting some reduction in state funding. School board chair Tyler Murphy says it's an early version of the budget, and it could change.
And we have these conversations every year. The draft budget is very preliminary because there's very little detail from which we can operate, especially given the unknowns in Frankfurt right now.
That comes as the district tries to tighten its financial processes after budget problems earlier this year. That included cuts relating to a since-resolved $16 million shortfall and a smaller contingency fund than expected. I'm Shepard Snyder.
GOP lawmakers have filed at least five bills aimed at tearing down sanctuary policies and requiring participation in federal immigration enforcement. House Bill 361 requires departments to use all resources that are, quote, reasonably available, end quote, to support federal immigration enforcement. It also bars any sanctuary policies. Notably, it also prohibits governments or departments from stopping officers from exchanging information with immigration agencies. The Louisville Metro Police Department recently disciplined employees after a detective shared his login info to a network of license plate readers with a federal agent who used that information for immigration enforcement. That was the result of stories from the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting. You can hear more on all of these when you visit us online at weku.org or the WEKU mobile app. For WEKU News, I'm Brian Burkhardt.